Hi, this is Ryan Bruce with SpiritualHealingSource.com. It's a website I help create featuring the writings of Brad Cullen, an internationally recognized author of several books about spiritual topics and particularly related to physical and emotional healing. Hi, Brad.
How are you?
Good. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you perfect.
Perfect. So I've got Secret 5, Part B. I'm wondering, am I talking to Brad Cullen or should I be calling Barbara Simmons? I mean, come on, but did you have writer's block and you had to put her stuff in there? Or?
No, I just love that piece. What did you think about it?
I think it's a beautiful piece of poetry.
I see.
I think it's beautiful. But what I really want to talk to you about, and I'm sorry, I'm just giving you a hard time, really. Quite honestly, Barbara Simmons has written a really good article here that I think a lot of people will find value in, and I wouldn't want to diminish her work in any way because it truly is fabulous stuff. But what I want to ask you about is Secret 5B, because you teased me a little bit last time when I was asking you how do we do this now? And you're in Secret 5B, you're giving me exactly one specific, very specific way to accomplish that. And the challenge I have with it is while I agree with concept, because in the last podcast you told me the story of the grocery clerk and you speaking with the one that's inside of you and you responded to her, I'm perfect. But here you're going, by speaking it several times a day and allowing the one in us to do the talking. Whenever someone asks, how are you? A simple thing to respond in faith by saying, I am, or perfect, because the perfect one is in you. Now, isn't that intellectualism? Well, that's not really acting and allowing the person, the Christ within, to speak. It's making a decision that any time somebody's going to approach me or talk to me, I'm going to respond in that way. It's an intellectual decision.
I got you. Okay, that's a good point. Okay, well, let's burn the article. I'll rewrite it.
That's the way you always try to get around the point. I'm not trying to burn your article. I'm trying to challenge you on this specific one, because I know our readers will. They'll go, well, wait a second. If I make an intellectual decision to say perfect, how is that being in the now?
No, I'm saying I think you're making a good point, something I hadn't thought of before, and I think it is a good point, and perhaps I need to step back and ask Dad what to do about it, because I see the conflict. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. The first time you said it to that grocery clerk, obviously it was divinely inspired. And I can see why you'd want to adopt it. And it probably feels good. So, for example, in a blog I write, I usually put at the end of my writing, I put, on your team. It feels good. Because that's what I'm trying to do, is be on someone's team and help them to achieve their goals. But in this case, if I say perfect, it's kind of very intellectual, because I really haven't been inspired to say that. And
that's interesting. Can I ramble for a minute, or you try to make a point?
The point is I tried it out a couple of times and it just didn't feel right to me. So maybe I should be asking God what I should be saying. How do I allow the one who resides in me to respond to people when they say, how are you? Because I sure get asked that question a lot.
That's always the answer.
I mean, rather than just adopting one of your two phrases, maybe we should be encouraging people to go and find out what their phrase should be.
All right. Now I come back to, shall we rewrite the article?
Why? Didn't we accomplish what you wanted? And that's to allow the people who are listening to this podcast to start walking in the now?
I love it. Okay, you're right. Very good. See, you did it again.
Well, we're working together to accomplish the same goal, aren't we?
Absolutely. We don't care how it gets done. It's Dad's work. No,
that's right. That's right, it is. So now that we've gotten over that tough one, here comes the easy one.
I can hear the steel in your voice.
Actually, I just planted my tee in the ground, and I've drawn a picture of your face on my golf ball. I'm ready to go. No.
Uh-oh.
It's nothing like...
You're dancing around on the lawn again.
It's nothing like... You say it tells... In your last paragraph, you're talking about the Living Excited trilogy that you wrote a number of years ago. And I was hoping that you would share a little bit today with our authors about the story of your exit from the church and why. And I'm not suggesting that you go into the entire story, because we want to encourage people to take the time to read it, because I've read it myself and I think it's extremely valuable. But I was hoping that you wouldn't mind just giving us a Reader's Digest version.
Well, it wasn't a matter of I wanted to leave. I didn't want to leave. The reason I left was I heard it. Get out. Come out of her. You know?
Okay.
I said, well, and the culmination of a whole bunch of things, and I'm in an airport. All of a sudden, I'd been on my way to the Philippines working with a bunch of missionaries. That was the purpose, and that had been a fundraising thing among the denomination, and speaking at a missionary conference, and the whole thing blew up in my face. And it was just something that I saw, and what I'd been playing around with, trying to serve two masters. I was, you know, walking on the top of the fence and straddling it and trying to stay in the church. And when I knew blooming well, I was supposed to get out. And, I was resisting it. So it really, I wasn't supposed to be. Now, I'm not trying to get across a message to everybody to get out of the church. And I think that's, I come across that way often. So it creates a lot of resistance. What I'm, the only thing I can say is I knew that I was supposed to come out, and the words are right there in Revelation that opened the door to me, come out of her, you know, and means come out of the prostitute. And I began looking at that. You know, everybody says that everybody, but a lot of evangelical scholars refer to the Roman Catholic Church as the big whore, as it's translated into King James. But anyway, she's supposed to, that the church is a prostitute, the Catholic Church is. Well, the Lord showed me that if the Catholic Church is, and I'm saying if the Catholic Church is what some scholars say she is, as being the epitome, the big whore that seduces, then Protestantism is the daughter and many daughters of the whore, and 10 times worse, and that's what I saw. And I knew I was supposed to get out of that whole thing, and I was supposed to move in the direction of being one of brothers and one of sisters, and that we were supposed to minister to one another. And I could never come up with a clue as to how that was supposed to work out in practical. How do you meet together? Well, I just knew that we were supposed to meet together all the time. Everybody, we are the church. It's not a matter of going to church. You know, we are the church. And some 7-year-old girl came up with a line that, you know, phenomenal. You know, it's some neighbors were saying, well, where do you go to church? And she says, oh, we're not, you know, we don't go to church. We are the church. And I go, what? Out of a 7-year-old girl?
Wow. That's good, right?
So, yeah. So that's where it came from, and I knew that if I was going to stay in, I would just continue. I would either have to go with the church and go with all the ridiculousness of the church and marry the principality of the organized church and leave Christ, so to speak. Now, this is my experience. It's for me. I'm not saying this about anybody else. Everybody else has to find their own piece of truth related to this. But the organized church has some problems, has some definitive problems in how it operates contrary to the words that came out of Jesus' mouth. And main one being, you know, don't let anyone refer to you by any title that implies spiritual authority or spiritual superiority. No, you're all to be brothers and sisters one to another. Well, the huge conflict of Paul and what he wrote related to, you know, what's the word, apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastor teachers, you know, the charismatic movement that has kind of put the label on it as the fivefold ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe in that fivefold ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we're all operating in that. But as soon as you put man's organization on it and bylaws and all the rest of the stuff, you get into all kinds of problems. So I had to leave it.
Right.
Let's leave it.
Thanks for sharing, Brad. I think it's important for our readers to understand where you're coming from in that regard and how you feel about it, because it, you touch on it on the sidelines in a lot of our conversations and through your material, but I think it's valuable for everybody to know exactly what led you to the position that you're in. And I'm in a similar position. I also used to attend church, but I found that I was, after every Sunday, I found myself in judgment, and usually in judgment of the way the scriptures were being presented, and I wasn't confident that it was actually the Holy Spirit that was guiding the pastor of the church that I was attending to say what he was saying. And it seemed to me that he was reading it from a book.
Wow, yeah.
And I really needed to get out of that judgment, so I stopped going.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting, and I never knew that about you. So that's, and you never knew it about me, and yet we've been brought together in a very miraculous way. So
we've been having church. Exciting. We've been having church ever since.
Absolutely. Well stated.
Yeah.
That's good. This is an exciting day for us.
It is an exciting day, and I think that I really want to encourage people to please go to the source and find out how you can allow who's inside of you to speak rather than our culture or your background or your upbringing or what is easy to say when people respond or whatever your habit is. Time to break a habit. Find a new habit. Allow God to speak through you today.
Wow, yeah. And back to your criticism, calling what I made the decision, the intellectual decision, to always say perfect. It's so valid, and what we came to, and we always do this. We've been doing this stuff for over 12 years. It's, you know, let's ask that. You know, what are we quibbling about? You know, it's crazy. So the article, take that part of the article with a grain of salt, since you won't let me rewrite it, and you're the publisher. So
you're stuck with it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brad.
And that's okay, because, you know, we're going to release that book. I'm assuming that your plans are still, you felt it was, that Dad was saying, write an updated Secrets 2010 in book form and make it a compilation, or at least draw out of these podcasts and draw out of the articles into the book. Is that still... that's kind of where my mind and my spirit has been. That's still where you're going.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think this is perfect because it's a corrective, and it's a corrective from Dad. And it's something that people, brothers and sisters in the audience, can take part in and say, well, wait a minute, I asked, and this is what I got. You know, it's different. Some people get all upset about that, and what they don't understand is there's a correlation here, and I think this is the perfect timing to say it. What I had a vision, such a clear vision, is I have 5 grown children, and I relate to each one of them differently. I say things totally different to each one of them because each one of them relates to me totally different, and that's how our dad does, our mommy, daddy, source, our perfect parent, relates to each one of us. And you're going to get something different than I do. We're so comfortable with this, we don't even think about it. We just always, we want to confirm related to everything that's on the website or everything that we publish, everything I write that you publish. We take it step by step. And anytime you have a correction, you say, well, this is what I'm getting. And if I don't like it, I say, well, this is what I'm getting, and we go together. And every time we do and we go together, Dad clears it up. Am I right or am I wrong?
Sure I are. You're 100% right.
Well, there it is. So there's the template. That's what we're trying to get across to people who may still be caught or stuck in the, not just a denomination, but stuck in the whole spirit of organization, human organization, that quenches the spirit. And this is the Brad Cullen, Bruce Ryan approach to church.
It's a good one, too. I have a good time.
Me, too. Yeah, it's one of the things you did an illustration. I think it was a photo you put on of one of the original articles I wrote for the website about God straightening out our ruts.
Yeah.
And this is it. you know, here I've been in a rut for how many years now, and I haven't even seen it. I've been in a rut of an intellectually made decision that came out of spirit originally, but then I made doctrine out of it, and I've been preaching this stuff, and good night. It's the very thing I accuse other people of doing. So guilty as charged.
It's a trap.
Lord forgive me.
It's a trap.
Yeah, it is a trap. And thank you for exposing it and shining the light on it. And sounds like we're winding down. We're done.
We're done. I'm looking to dive even deeper into the secrets. Next time I talk to you, I'll have a new greeting for you. I'm going to let Christ answer the question when you say, how are you?
Hallelujah. That's cool. That's beautiful. Thank you. Dad, I'm just expecting you to do the same thing for me. We want this to be fresh. We want it to be of you. And we want people to be blessed and come to you. And we know that that's what you've chosen us to do. You called us to direct people to you, not to direct people to us. So, praise God.
Yeah, I'm with you, pal.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks. Bye-bye.